Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, week has been going peaceful and enjoyable up until this point. That's it for my intro for the day, boys. What y'all got for it?
What up, world? It's your boy Bone. What's good?
What a god. Good evening. Let's get into it, man.
Let's get into the in the know, as we do, as we kick off our show with the in the know. This week, first topic, Howard University slammed for naming P. Diddy as commencement speaker. Now, Combs attended the historically black university for 2 years before dropping out in 1990. Now, before we go too far with the dropping out part, he went on an internship at then the famous New York Uptown Records, which led to him going from the internship founding Bad Boy. So dropping out might not be a bad thing. But accomplishments aside, critics, former students, and present students are upset that Diddy never graduated and will be allowed to be the commencement speaker. So that's the kind of take on the alumni from Howard University. That's the uproar. That's why they're upset. Even though we know he did his successful, we know he's one of the few that drop out of college and make some of himself. Not saying it don't happen, but on that much success, do you see where you would have an issue with Diddy giving the commencement? Because now, before I go into that, previous commencement speakers at Howard University were President Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, Hillary Rodham Clinton, General Colin Powell, and Maya Angelou. So you can see where.
And then P. Diddy?
Right, exactly.
What are they thinking? I mean.
I guess the connection, because he went to Howard, but the fact that he didn't graduate, I don't know if it's a good look.
He must have been last minute, man. I'm gonna stick with this. He was last minute.
No.
Celebrity that he get. Come on, man.
What'd you say, Lee? What'd you say?
I think this is a classic case. Hip hop has taken over the world.
Possible. I
mean,
can see that.
Like the only other explanation that would make sense is that he bought his way in there.
That could be true.
We don't know how much
yeah.
money
right.
he
that could be true.
Yeah,
that could
he
be true.
May, you might have a point.
And that might be the only legitimate reason I see them saying, oh, we don't care what you say.
Yeah,
right.
That money
yeah.
can come in.
Yeah.
Hey, you on the way out.
I thought it was an interesting topic because I felt like it was,
point right
on both sides, you know what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing for Diddy to be there because he is successful. But I guess if you're trying to get graduation and that's what it's all about, a commencement ceremony.
I understand the uproar.
Right.
Yeah,
I think
I definitely
if I was one of those who was getting a degree, I might be an uproar too.
Yeah, especially if you name off these previous commencements, because I'm like,
not
oh,
even that. To put a simple fact that I came here and did what I said I was
right,
going to do.
Right.
Now the person who's congratulating
me. Dropped out.
So what
he's kind of a contradiction
yeah.
to what I'm doing today. Yeah.
I could have skipped this and still made it to this stage
yeah.
is what you're telling me.
Yeah. I mean, but if he come and, you know, I'm speculating, you know, he coming in, you know, I wish I would have stayed in school.
Right,
you know, I wish I would have got my degree. I look back and thought my success. That's still an accomplishment I wish I would have gotten. Then I give him that.
And I see both sides, but I'm more leaning towards your side, T, because I'm just like you. Hey, man, I went through it.
Yeah.
I had to go through it. What do you stand in front of me? You're not an example of what I'm trying to achieve or what I have achieved. So I
just like somebody who got discharged from the Army
right.
to handle you a medal.
Right, exactly. Mm. Right, exactly. You ain't got no medal, but
yeah,
you can
right,
medal.
Hey,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So this is what you think of me.
Well, if we look at it on that terms, he got no business standing in front
so
of
him
at all. He got no business standing in front of him. Yeah, you're right.
No, we don't do it like that.
Moving on to our next topic. The NCAA Council approves proposal for unlimited meals, snacks for D1 athletes.
Man, pay you for it.
For real.
So this is just a new thing, and they said it kind of got more drive and more push to it after
the Connecticut dude.
Right. Most valuable player of the tournament, Shabazz Napier. He complained during the Final Four that sometimes he went starving during the tournament, during the Final Four, you know. Which is true. We know that. I mean, we've seen the Fab Five thing, and they talked on it before. It says the proposed, initiative they're trying to pass, it would allow D1 schools to provide unlimited meals and snacks to all athletes, including walk-ons. So I guess, like, if you're a walk-on right now on a scholarship, I guess you don't got nothing.
Right.
No, you walk
on. No.
I didn't know that. I thought if you was a part of the team, even as a walk-on, you kind of, you know, you get meals and stuff like that.
You
I didn't know that.
Scholarship.
I didn't know that. Just a little secret, or not even a secret. I'm probably talking too much. But them athlete boys, now, this unlimited thing is different. But when I was hanging with them boys in South Florida, them boys be good. Boys be good. They got a little meal card. They go and eat, and you know, I think about it, they could go anytime they wanted to, but it was three times a day that the cafeteria was open. So I guess now, with this unlimited thing, I guess they might have some kind of vouchers or something to go out and get something to eat or something like that.
Oh, I feel like, at the end of the day, that should never been an issue. As much money as...
They make off of them.
Yeah. I mean, it would behoove you to keep them happy.
It just makes sense. I mean, you could have been giving them all this stuff anyway. You should have been.
From the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, the issue comes down to them asking for money, but that should have been the last thing on their mind. They had other avenues. Like I was saying, like, I think we discussed it, and we were talking about, like, a trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
After they graduate, you at least pay into that every year you play for the sport. I wouldn't necessarily give them the money right now.
Right.
Because I think it would go crazy, but I think something could be implemented. It's too much money made off these boys.
Yeah, it's
And girls. Not just boys. And girls. And girls. I mean, both ways.
I mean, that's I don't want to say free labor because you're getting free education, so it's kind of like hand-in-hand, but at the same time, the amount of money that you make off of me, I feel like I deserve something.
And if you go to the point of Kentucky with Calipari, he pretty much already tell his kids, you know, come here to play and go to the NBA. I'm not saying stay. Don't come. Basically, I'm not necessarily implement come here to get an education.
Yeah, he's a basketball coach.
So, so with that, you know, I mean, in that, you see these guys going, and if you look at it the way it falls, they're in school for like a semester. That's it. The rest of the time is the season. So if you there 1 year, that next semester, what you going to school for anyway? You'll be going in the draft. So it's almost set up, you know what I'm saying? Well, you're just making money off them for them to go to the NBA. They're not standing around to get an education. So I guess it kind of still one hand washes the other because they give them the opportunity to go to the next level.
So what, they have to be a sophomore or a junior to declare?
I think it's a sophomore. Is it sophomore or junior?
Either way. I'm still,
I think basketball is still the only one with the most years. I think it's 2 years in basketball. Football went to one a couple of years in basketball.
Yeah, I know that. I ain't know the basketball.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Feed them.
Feed them.
Feed them.
Feed them,
boys. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Give them something. Just something. Next topic. Next topic, man. Ice Cube slams Fast and Furious 6 MTV Movie Award. Right? Cube accused fans of voting for Vin Diesel and the late Paul Walker as the MTV Movie Awards best on-screen duo out of sympathy. Cube and Kevin Hart played the ride along. They were up for the award also. Cube feel like they had the best chemistry on screen as a duo, and he feel like the only reason Fast and the 5-6 got it with Vin Diesel and Paul Walker is because we all know Paul Walker tragically died earlier this year. So he felt like it was a sympathy vote. Cube getting a lot of backlash because a lot of people saying, you know, it was, you know, insensitive, I guess you could say. Do you feel like he wrong? I know you probably, neither one of you probably seen either one of the movies, so I guess it don't matter.
No, it ain't about the movie. It's about, you know, whether we think he's wrong for stating his opinion.
I mean, are you surprised that Ice Cube said it?
No.
That's my question.
Not
surprised that he said it. Maybe you could say he probably shouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
That's one of them things, okay, everybody know that already.
Right.
So why say anything? You know
why shouldn't he have said it, though? If I felt it and I believed it, why I can't say
that's it? That's why I'm not surprised. That's cute. That, I mean, that, you know, we get to see.
I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. Maybe like Bone more surprised at the backlash.
Are you disappointed that he said it?
No. I'm going to tell you why. If I felt it, if he really feel that way, he believe that, ain't wrong for saying that. Ain't wrong for saying that.
I didn't see
Ride Alone, but I saw Furious, what is it?
Six. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I seen their chemistry. It was all right.
They had better chemistry in earlier movies.
Right, exactly, to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I can just imagine Cube and
I seen both. Cube, right, but that's a bias, so I was going to keep it out of it.
Right.
Because I like his movies, but the truth of the matter, I seen them both. The one, they would have had a hard chance beating boys in one. Fast and Furious 1,
right.
Because that was when it was at their best. Now, it was good, that one. But them boys is funny, man. Cube, it's just, he made Kevin Hart look like a stone fool because Cube is like a hard-nosed dude. And you know, he played a hard-nosed role. And you got Kevin Hart just like a fool all the time. It was just like, it was awesome. It was a good movie.
I'm going to check it out. What's the name of it?
Ride Along.
Ride Along.
I think it come out on Redbox sometime soon, I think.
Quick plug for Redbox.
Yeah.
We all do it.
Yeah,
we all do it.
Yeah, man. It's the truth. Floyd Mayweather leads ESPN's top paid athletes in the world. Mayweather is estimated to have guaranteed, now this is just guaranteed, just the guaranteed money he is supposed to get. It's not the money he probably made off outside revenue. $73.5 million in 2004. Well, last year.
I thought Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is number four.
Oh, well.
Aaron Rodgers had like 50.2 million or something like that. And there was some other like European guys on the list that were athletes.
Well, I ain't mad at that.
Aaron Rodgers on it. Tony Romo. It was a couple of football. It was a couple of football. And but Floyd was the most with the 73 million. And you know what? Now that I think about going, I didn't see too many baseball players up there in that stream.
Well, I say this. Out of everybody on the list, I'm pretty sure, because I don't know who's on the list, so I can't say it as a fact, but I'm pretty sure Floyd is the only one undefeated on that list.
Yeah. Which, that's why he's going to stay at the top as long as he's undefeated.
Like, he deserves it. As far as I'm concerned, I never lost. I don't care what the sport is, team or individual, I have not taken the L.
Yeah.
That's a crazy amount of money, though, man.
Hey.
And then he probably made more than
right, you know.
I see him posting
stuff on Instagram about how much money he done bet on this.
The boy got money.
Yeah.
And like you say, and I've heard him say it before himself, I earned this.
He did. I mean, he can't take it from.
He said, I earned this. Why are you mad at me? I earned this. The thing that I think people don't understand about Floyd is, Floyd wins because you don't like him. Both ways. He continues to win in the rain because he got a reason to continue to win. He wins outside the rain because you're going to watch him because you want him to lose.
You're in hopes that he's
winning. Yeah, so either way, he's winning.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, he's living it up. On a good note, and this won't be our closeout, but this is a good note. The MLB. Major League Baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson Day yesterday, 67 years after his debut. On April 15, 1947, Jackie Robinson made history with the Brooklyn Dodgers by breaking Major League Baseball's color barrier. On Tuesday, the 67th anniversary of Robinson's breakthrough, to honor Robinson, every player in action wore the number 42.
That's what's up. Everybody who stepped on the field.
Everybody who stepped on the field Tuesday that was in action for the baseball game in the NLB, they wore the number 42. I didn't know that. But that's remarkable.
That's what's up.
That's remarkable.
Good.
And there's another stat I didn't know. As a rookie in 1947, Robinson posted a career-high 21-game hitting streak. He batted a .357, 34-84, with 23 runs in that stretch. In 1947, he was named Rookie of the Year. So his first year being breaking the color barrier, I didn't know he was named Rookie of the Year. So now, even on top of the fact getting in the league, he became the first African-American to win the Rookie of the Year.
Oh, bad luck.
Yeah. So, you know, a little note or something.
Stay honest.
Yeah.
It's supposed to do.
Yeah, it's a little note of something, some of the things we probably overlook and take for granted now. I always want to put those nuggets out there. But here's another Joel. And I seen this one later on, but I had to put it out there because it's hometown. Coach Willie Tice.
Mm-hmm.
USF Bulls, we were playing a first spring game at Manatee High on Saturday from 2 to 5. I thought that was really what's up. He bringing the South Florida Bulls back to his hometown to play on his home field. Yeah, he said to rebuild the program, he wants to get the Tampa Bay area from all sides more involved. I thought that was a great look.
That was smart, man.
But at the same time, they can't come down here faking. They're going to have to come down here and play.
Oh, yeah. He know that. But even though it's a great move, he know he gonna be criticized more here than he would.
Yeah, I'm not going to y'all hometown.
Yeah,
man. Y'all coming to my hometown.
Mm.
Hey, I ain't losing at home. I don't lose at home. This was up, though,
man. Yeah, I had to put that out there.
In the know.
In the know. That's in the know for this week, man. Or for the day. I should say what? The week. Yeah, it'd be for the week. But that we'll move on into the meat, as we call it, of the show. Get on into the meat. The title of today's show is Healthy Mindset. and a healthy mindset. I let TJ elaborate on it a little bit, but where we're trying to go with it. But healthy mindset is just a healthy mindset. It's pretty much what it says.
Yeah, we did a show a couple shows ago. I don't know how long ago. We were starting to run together. Now,
yeah,
but
yeah.
We went in on a clouded mindset and the impact of negativity and all that. So we figured we would put a spin on it and focus on the positive aspects of life when we focus on having a healthy mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, the first topic we decided to go with was the importance of mental health,
mm-hmm.
especially for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
This topic came up in conversation. You know, we were just having a conversation with some people,
mm-hmm.
about therapists and the negative outlook that we tend to have on therapists and therapy. The question was asked, would we go? Would I go to a therapist? Whether it be relationship, whether it be for mental health, whether it be for anything. And my immediate response was no. Not going there. Don't want to go there.
A sounding
no.
No,
yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not doing that. Because these people don't know nothing until I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all you're going to do is turn around and take what I tell you and tell me what I already know. That's my thought process. And I figure, you know what? I'm right in that. But in conversation, we realize that it's more than just that. You know what I mean? A lot of times we find ourselves in situations because of our mindset and not realizing what led us to that place. So with that, we're going to go in on why it's important to focus on a mental health. Which one of y'all want to start off?
I'll go into it. Go ahead, Bone.
No, you got that. Go ahead.
I'll go into it. It's funny because we was having this discussion, then we talked about it, and being that I'm a therapist by trade in my profession, we were saying, like, you know, we're going to reach out to someone else so it doesn't seem as if my judgment is just an opinion because I'm a host of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my supervisor, who she's a licensed clinical social worker, so I asked her. And I was like, hey, if I needed your opinion on something and I need you to talk on something for me, I'm doing, would you mind doing it? And she was like, will I be debating a topic that me and you agree on, but we just see it on different eyesights? And I was like, no, I said, it's pretty much, you know, you just come and give your credibility to what we're talking about and understand. She said, oh, you don't need me. And I said, oh, what do you mean? And she was like, because if me and you are not debating something to get knowledge out of it together as two therapists, you're a therapist.
That's why I wish. When you said you asked the question, I was hoping you would have said yes. Even if she wouldn't have been debating with you,
yeah,
she would probably ended up been debating with one of us on this panel. So I wish you would have said yeah, but I understand your mindset in that, and I'm sorry for interrupting. Good.
No, but you're good. So with that, I mean, basically, what I took from it is I'm credible enough to speak on it,
mm-hmm.
and if you take it as my opinion, that's fine, but I am educated in it, so I will give you what I know, but my understanding as far as being healthy, I think your mental health plays a big part in it, and then sometimes I think because we as individuals find it very hard to go inside ourselves by ourselves. What a therapist's initial job is to do is to give you the resources to be able to do that. That doesn't mean it gives you answers. It means more trigger you to be able to understand it for yourself. So if you, Corey, came in to see me and I asked you, so tell me a little bit about yourself, and then listening to you talk, at some point, if you open up, if I build a rapport with you, which is my job as a therapist to do, what, at some point when you open up, I'm going to find out things about you that you're just saying. But you necessarily, we as individuals say things outwardly and don't realize we're telling the story behind it. So you may say to me, as simple as, I don't watch TV because I just don't like TV. And to me, that triggers into me, it's the reason behind him not watching TV. It's not that simple. So for me, I'm going to ask you, what about TV bothers you? Now, you have to go in yourself. I'm not answering questions for you. I'm asking you questions to allow you to go inside yourself. That's really what a therapist is there for. It's not so much I'm there to give you answers or try to hear your life story. If I'm morally doing it from the right place and I'm morally trying to help my client, all I'm doing is giving you the resources to figure it out for yourself. Because the truth of the matter is, if I give you all the answers when you leave and run into another problem, who's going to fix it then? I have to prepare you to be able to fix whatever you encounter after that. So my whole point is, that's why I love cognitive behavior theory, because it kind of it plays on the cognitive set of a person. So if you tell me something, I'm going to give you the reverse of it. Like if you say to me, I'm at the point now where I just, you know, I don't think nobody likes me. So when I ask you, you know, so who is your closest friend? You might say BJ. I said, did you ever wonder if BJ think everybody like him too? In that moment, you realize, hey, I never thought about it. It ain't just about me. Everybody has the same problems. And sometimes that's our biggest problem, feeling get lost in ourselves, but not wanting to go within ourselves to answer our truths. And we talked about this before, you know, your own truths, you know what I mean? So, I mean, for me, that's I know I talked for a minute, but that's a little bit of a summary of how, from my personal, professional, and moral standpoint, I feel most therapists should attack things. Now, you do have some that do the wrong thing, and it's a lot about money. And that's where you get people to say, I ain't going to them because all they want is my money. They ain't going to do nothing but listen to me and tell me what I want to hear. That does happen. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not sitting here vouching for the whole profession of therapy or mental health or nothing like that. I'm saying it does happen. You have that. But if you get the right situation, the right therapist, these are the things that should be implemented. And when these are implemented, mindset becomes healthier because now you are able to find your own coping skills to get through the challenges of life. You know what I'm saying? Now, I was instrumental in doing it, but really you find out at the end of the session, I did it all myself, as in the client. You come back to him and say, yeah, he pointed me in the direction, but, and like you said, I could have done that myself. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of times, we can do it by ourselves, we just don't know how.
Yeah, that's it right there. Because I'm one of the, I was in the room when that question was asked, and I was a sounding no as well, because I always felt that I don't need a person telling me something that I should be able to figure out myself. But that, to me, is partially a sign of a partially healthy mental state, okay?
Partially healthy?
Partially.
Okay.
Because I realize that, I'm not saying that I don't have issues that I need to work out, but the issues that I have, I feel like I may be mentally strong enough to handle myself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I clearly understand that some people need therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I get myself caught up in that, and you know, and this is bad because now talking to that room of people, I realize that that's not this my thinking was incorrect. But I always felt that was a weak mind that needed a therapy.
Mm-hmm.
A weak-minded person needed therapy. Needed somebody to help them figure out something that they should be able to figure out themselves. But that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that can be considered strong mentally may still need therapy because it's something about them that they just don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, a complete stranger can call you out on something about you that they don't even know. Just within a few minutes of talking to you. So I can understand why therapists are needed. I just don't, you know, necessarily feel I need one.
After having that conversation, this might be surprising to some of y'all, but after having that conversation, I came to the conclusion in my own mind that I think at one point or another, we all, I don't even want to use the word need. I would say need, but I'm not going to use that. We all could benefit from therapy. And a matter of fact, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, yes, we all do need therapy. I'm going to say what I meant to say the first time. We do need it. Now, does that mean I need to go sit down with a licensed therapist? Maybe not.
No.
Maybe my therapy is getting in the car and driving by myself for an hour or two and thinking this thing out of my head, talking to myself. Maybe my therapy is, as wrong as it may sound, I might have a drink. I might smoke a cigarette. I might smoke, you know, marijuana. I might, mm-hmm. you know, that. We all have vices. Whatever you do that allows you to go within yourself,
mm-hmm.
and at least admit that there's a problem and that I contribute to this problem in some shape, form, or fashion. That's your therapy, in my opinion, to me. Now, the reason why, like I said, I don't necessarily or I didn't necessarily agree with going and sit down and talk to somebody is simply because I have to tell you everything that you need to tell me what I already know. I already know all this.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And when I'm sitting there telling you, I have a choice to make. Either I'm going to be honest with you or I'm going to lie to you. And if I lie to you, you can't help me anyway because you really don't know what's going on. I'm just telling you what I want you to know, which is probably what I've been telling myself, which is probably why I'm in the situation I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to be honest with you, why can't I be honest with myself? If I be honest with myself, okay, this is how I contribute to this problem. Now I have to make a decision on whether I'm willing to do something about it or not. We say it's hard, but is it really? You know what I mean? Is it really that hard to be honest with yourself? You can't be honest with nobody else. Can you at least be honest with yourself?
Some people cannot be honest with themselves. I don't know what it is about them.
Or being honest with themselves for them is telling themselves a lie.
Huh.
Because, I mean, I think we all been in circumstances where we knew what we were saying to ourselves wasn't going to work.
True.
You know what I'm saying? But we also knew the other side of it. Now, this is why I said the therapist is instrumental because, me and you can sit down. Well, no, I take that back. I can sit down and talk to myself, but I can rationalize why I'm going to do what I already decided to do. When I come out and tell the therapist, and like you said, it is true at times, you don't know what the client is telling you the truth or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is the client knows. And as a therapist, I should be well enough equipped to pick up on how things are going, to point out certain facts. Because, like, if you tell me you don't watch TV, and you say to me, I don't watch TV because boom, 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 or whatever, whatever.
Because it's a bunch of bull. That's
right. Now, if you say you watch TV because it's a bunch of bull, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I ask you, who's your favorite basketball player?
Man, I don't care. LeBron at this point.
Okay. When's the last time you seen Heat play?
Been a minute. Probably the last year when they played in the championship.
Did you see it on television?
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay. But earlier you stated to me you don't watch television because it's a bunch of bullshit. So when it's not a bunch of bullshit, that's when you choose to watch it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you do find television at times to be okay.
Yeah.
You see how that's the term? In the beginning, when we first started talking, you was totally against TV. TV was bullshit. But as I continue to pick apart and know enough about you or just putting things together in my mind that can pick it up, I was able to get you to see you can watch TV if you want to and when you choose to.
Yeah, I don't want to because I don't want to.
And that's in you. But through talking to the therapist and the therapist going through those changes, it's not an overnight thing. But it's able to open your mind and see, I can be a little more open to what I'm saying.
Basically, that's the technique to break down a wall.
Right. That one trigger something.
Right.
The next time, it trigger more.
What you really made me do is go back and say, okay, well, I do watch TV. Sometimes I don't watch TV as much as most people.
Yeah.
I'm selective in what I watch on TV.
Right. It really what it does is it kind of turns something that you totally came out to being negative and totally against to allowing yourself to understand, I am a little bit open to it than I thought I was.
I can see that being something that would be benefit to the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Now you kind of filling that person out
right.
a little bit. You kind of understand and you're building that rapport. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But you also... You're deciding how you can come at it.
Right.
It's almost like a chess match.
Right. And that's what it
because
was just then.
In that conversation, if I walked into your office, and I'm being honest with you, if I walked into your office and we had that conversation at the end of that 2 minutes paragraph, I probably would have got up and walked out. Simply because I'm like, man, I know everybody, I mean, nobody just don't turn on the TV at all ever in their life. Yeah, of course. But I don't sit and watch TV. Like, I can go a month without turning on TV. Honestly.
Which is true. And in that standpoint, you would be a hard-ass client for me to deal with. But I would, as a therapist, I would have to go back to the drawing board, get another technique to figure out how to break you. But that's my job. You get what I'm saying? And if I care enough, I'm going to continue to do that. Now, you have some therapists that let you get up, walk out, and don't care because you done paid for that session.
Right.
Now, me, on the other hand, I'm going to try to continue to schedule another one and get you back in or keep you there in that moment and approach you differently. Now, I think cognitive don't work. So now I'm going to come with solution focus. I'm going to change it up. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like, as a therapist, you have to be in that moment at all the times when you're talking to me.
I think that now I get where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good introduction because you, again, I would be totally shut down to talking to a therapist without knowing what you do, without actually, because I've spoken to you
mm-hmm.
personal.
Mm-hmm.
We had this conversation, like, my mind is kind of open to it.
Right, right.
Where it was totally
shut
off. And that's simply because of the negative connotation that comes along with therapy. If
right,
somebody
right.
suggests therapy or you're offered or is mentioned, it's negative. It's like, okay, now I'm crazy. That's not necessarily the case. Sometimes we have a hard time if we can't be honest with ourselves or if we have been honest with ourselves and hit a wall. Like, okay, now what do I do? You have to talk to somebody at some point.
Mm-hmm.
mental health, though, we're talking about the importance of a healthy mental state. If we look around right now, the world in general is unhealthy. And a lot of that is because of the mindset of people.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
We don't... You would take the time to wash your car. You'll take the time to take a shower, wash your body. You'll take the time to go get your blood pressure checked. Go get physicals and go do this and go do that. But we often neglect the health of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, in music and in TV and in social media and in just general conversation with other people who have unhealthy minds, it's inevitable that some of that is going to get embedded in our own mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable. No matter how strong of a person you are, no matter how much you think, you read, you do all of that, you can't be a part of something for too long without it becoming a part of you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I agree with your point. I agree with you going, where you're going to.
I don't think we understand, well, I don't want to say it that way. A lot of people, and I speak for myself, have to get to a place where I've actually fallen before I realize that I could have stopped that a
mm-hmm.
long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I find myself at a place where I'm forced to look at a situation before I'll choose to look at a situation. Well, you can see things going bad before they get there. You can see you starting to make wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that things aren't working like maybe you intended or wanted to before it gets past a certain point. In looking at mental health, there are some people, and I could very well be one of them, who genuinely have health issues mentally. But I'm of the opinion that everything that affects your mental has a past. Meaning if I go back and I look over life, I can kind of determine where this thing that I'm dealing with now started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a matter. Number one, being honest. That's I think, is the first step. Whether you're talking to yourself, whether you're talking to a therapist, whether you're talking to your friend.
Yeah.
You got to be honest about a problem that you're facing and how you contribute to the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I follow where you're going because I really believe, like you're saying, a lot of times, and especially as a culture, I can only speak for what I'm around my environment, and I can also speak about the environments I may have visited and been in, but I know more about the one I'm in. And my environment is my environment. My culture is my culture. And I know growing up, it was almost looked at as you had to see a shrink. You was great. You going to Chattahoochee, you know what I'm saying? That was the thing, you know? So it's never been really regarded as a positive to go see the doctor in that manner. Not sick, like you said. You're going to get a physical, a checkup, all that's fine.
Yeah, first thing they tell you to do is go.
And that's the first thing a person say is you're taking care of your health. But mental health is often neglected, and that is the main issue. Because, like you say, what's ruling the world right now, and the most impactful, is the internet and TV. And all that is mental. I mean, it gets into your mental. It's like our homeboy said, get in your spirit.
Yeah.
And if that's not balanced, which most of us are not balanced, even us that are seeing clinicians, even us who are not seeing clinicians and know where we're going at times ain't balanced. So, I mean, you already got an uphill battle. So to totally neglect it, it's a downfall. It's a downfall.
Another thing, we were talking about it last week. We kind of ended the show with it, but society as a whole and the plan of the system is to affect your mental state.
Yeah.
If I can get, it's an old saying, get ahead.
By the dead.
By the dead. Once I can affect your mental a certain way, I have control. I have total control.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't even know which way I'm trying to go with this because I got a lot that I want to say, but I don't know how to put it all together right now. But in looking at, as my own boy called it, the system,
mm-hmm.
they are in control of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They are in control of TV. They are in control of music. They are in control of everything. And when one entity, one person, one group, one whatever has that much control, it's hard to not become their robot.
Yeah.
The only way to avoid that is to stay totally, always be in check of where my mind is.
Now, see, we as adults know that. You can't, you know,
mm-hmm.
anybody with some sense will realize that, you know, when I say the system, you know, the enemy, basically,
yeah.
okay? The enemy.
No color.
Towards our, you know, our color, the enemy towards our success, you know, the enemy towards our mind state, you know, they want us to have that unhealthy mind state because then we won't succeed. We won't take our proper places and positions of power,
mm-hmm.
you know, like our traditionally we're used to. Now, traditionally in America, when it comes to the physical aspect of mental health, black people just don't do it.
And you know what's crazy about that you say that, Bone? Because this ain't our damn tradition. We ain't American. We've become African-American.
You.
Because you put a hyphenate and added American to it as you, if you was doing us a favor.
Thank
but
you.
The truth of the matter is you took me from my place of land. Now, I've never been to Africa. I granted, I know that. I was born in America. I get that. I'm not going to venture and say I'm not American. I fought for this country. I believe in this country, and I love this country. So understand that and understand me well. I'm pointing out my ancestors. So when I go back into that and you look at it from that standpoint and you see what I'm saying and you get the fact that this ain't none of my tradition, but I had to buy into it. And somewhere in that, you told me I was crazy to check my mind state. It comes back to my question that I was posed to me the other night. How can I survive in a society that was built off enslavement of my people?
One built for us.
Let's go see. I feel like we're still on surface level, and we digging.
Let's go deep.
We digging.
Yeah, and I want to dig a little bit, too. Now.
We digging.
Okay.
Go ahead, Paul.
The fact that we all suffer from some type of mental health deficiency.
Right.
Okay. The fact that we all suffer from some type of that, we have to start realizing it, being true to ourselves that we are suffering from it, and try to prevent our next generation, our children, from suffering from the same ailment.
Yeah. Because we're going to embed it in them if we don't.
If we're going to keep passing it on, keep passing it down generation for generation. We have to start at something as simple as my son, you know, I let him watch TV. Not all the time, but he watches a good amount of TV. But my thing is, if it's on TV, he believes it.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, don't believe everything you hear on TV. Everything you hear on TV ain't necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that's my job as his father, to somehow, even at 8 years old, make him start to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I pause you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead. What you got? I'm answering for mom.
at this point, if I can't believe what's on TV,
mm-hmm.
can we believe what's in the newspapers all the time?
I don't.
Okay, if I can't believe what's in the newspapers, can I believe what I read on the internet?
No.
I can't believe what's on the internet all the time. Now, some of it I can, some of it I can't. How am I to differentiate what's the truth and what's a lie? How do I know the difference?
That's our job.
I'm not going to a kid now. I'm talking about us because we the ones who are watching TV. We the ones who are reading the newspapers. We the ones who are on the internet. How do we find the truth about who we are? In order to pass it on to the kids, this is who you are now.
First of all, realize that all that ain't true. All of it ain't true. You can't believe all of it. You have to realize that first, that you cannot believe everything you see on TV, hear on the radio, reading the newspaper and magazine. You can't believe it. And if you do, you're naive. Straight and simple.
Yeah.
And once you realize it, then that should spark a hunger in you to want to know what the truth is.
Yeah.
Now, where do we go to get this truth? Because it has to be somewhere. The truth has to be somewhere.
I'm inclined to believe. Now, because my truth is one thing, and that's my understanding through Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm inclined to believe you go to that. Now, that's just me.
Okay.
I'm not pushing it on nobody, and I'm not saying that you can't learn how to balance and watch TV and have an understanding for yourself and still be able to know your truth. But you got to go to truth. It ain't no way around that, because if you don't, the only truth you're going to have is TV, the newspaper, and the internet. And now you've become, your mindset is clouded now, which would have been our other show, but that's how you get to a clouded mindset. And you don't help yourself get to a healthy mindset because you stuck in this truth, which is so big, it's everyone's truth. Societal truth is our truth.
And that's why I said I believe it affects everybody, because we are all part of a society and
yeah.
We are all fed the same lies. We might be fed the same truths at times, but we all fed the same lies. So in saying that, now we're going to go a little bit further in this, you said you feel like you should go to Christ.
Yeah.
That's your starting point. Okay. In order to understand truth, you also have to know a lie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, if you recognize that there's a Christ, you recognize that there's an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
We've been told from the beginning that the job, his only mission, his only motive, is to destroy. And he
mm-hmm.
does that through the major avenue, I think, is confusion.
Yeah, chaos.
Once your mind is in a confused state, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to believe. And this is where the question comes from. Like, I don't know what's the truth. I don't know what's a lie. I don't know who to trust. I don't know. I don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I live that way and if I'm in that type of situation, how can I not expect for my mind to somehow be thrown off? For lack of a better term, thrown off.
Yeah. I told it. I'm following you. I agree with you, because my thing is when I come back to that, I see it as if in understanding the lie, you better understand the truth. But if there's no lie, there's no truth.
Right.
So it's one or the other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that means what could be a lie to you could be the truth. And in that point, that's how we get into this societal stuck mindset. And then I want to point this out. When we say the system, we're talking about a combined unit. But the truth of the matter is, if we saying the truth is Christ, the system is Buddy. It's the devil. That's his whole. He's been able to get a group of individuals, I should say, to be a big enough party to build up enough negative to now it transcends over the internet. It transcends over the TV. And it gets into our mind. Why not? It's genius. If you think about it, it's the best way to get to it.
Look around, man. That's why I say just look around. You got men playing the role of women.
Yeah.
You got women playing the role of men. You got parents playing the role of kids. Kids playing the role of parents. You got employer who act like employee. Everything that you can name, there's some type of confusion. You can find
mm-hmm.
it somewhere. So everything is confused. This whole world is confusion. It's a big mass of confusion. And we're in the middle of it. And if we don't stop and take time out to give our mind some time, and that's the only way I can say that, but I guess you get what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Stop and think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You will continue always be lost. You will always, always, always be confused, never knowing which way to go. Now, I know I sound, in a lot of topics and a lot of things we talk about, I sound stubborn and I sound, I guess pig-headed is the same thing. I sound closed-minded. And it might come off that way, and I genuinely might be. But in my mind, I've come to the place where, you know what, I got to make a decision one way or another. I understand that everybody's not going to have the same opinion. Everybody's not going to make the same choice that I make. But in talking to somebody else, if their opinion is different, all that means is that I should respect their opinion. That doesn't mean that their opinion should change mine.
No, right.
Because I'm going to continue to be confused. That's why this show is important to me, because we have three different opinions at all.
Mm-hmm.
At least three different opinions on everything we talk about. But at the end of the day, where do I stand? I think we have a hard time making a decision what we're going to stand on and then sticking to that decision.
Yeah.
Which contributes to confusion, more confusion. We talk about not being part of the system, system unbuilt for us and all of that. We talk about all that. But do we ever think about the implications or the impact that it has on the mind? I may be forced to go along with a situation that I don't agree with. What does that do for my mind? What type of mindset do I walk away from that situation in? And then what does that do for the next situation I find myself in?
Yeah, it almost puts you in a box where you kind of, like you said earlier, just you're stuck in confusion.
Yes.
You're just stuck in confusion. Now you're going back and forth, and there's no win in it. You know what I'm saying? And that's where, like, the topic, the importance of mental health comes into. Because when you get that, and like you said, we pointed this out earlier, I'm not saying everybody needs a therapist. By no means. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. You can go inside yourself and find it again. But to fight through that confusion, just know when you go in it, if you're going by yourself, and you ain't taking the truth with you, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to sound like, I don't want to turn this into a religious conversation, but I look at it as simple as this. If we have those two entities, and I say, you know, it's black and it's white,
mm-hmm.
and then the human is what creates the gray area. I say that all the time. You have God, you have Satan. God is in your spirit, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is for your flesh, whatever. What? The only thing that's left is my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a constant battle, whether I know it or realize it or not, there's a constant battle. And the battle is for my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because wherever my mind, whichever side my mind leads towards,
it's going to win.
That's who wins.
Who's battling for that mind?
Them two entities.
I see it. You should be battling yourself. I mean, that's how I see it. It's an internal battle with yourself, back to the truth, whatever your truth may be, whether your truth is God or Satan, if that's where you roll. I mean, the battle begins within you, opening in your mind to realize that it's more than what you see right in front of you. Life is more than that.
Right. But, okay, you said you feel like you should battle within yourself. What are you battling for? I don't get that. Like, what? Yeah, that's my question. What are you battling for?
The open mind, I guess. The ability to know that there's more to the world than what the system is feeding us. You have to know that there's a system. You got to know that.
But we already said that the system equates to.
What the system does, man, the system's going to do what it does, what it do. Like Ray say, it's going to do what it do. The system's going to do what it do. Okay, just because you was in the system don't mean you have to work with the system.
Okay, so if I'm not working with it, should I be working against it? I got to pick one. I got to choose one way or the other. Either I'm going to work with it or I'm going to work against it.
First step is getting to the place where you can make that decision.
Well, we're here because we're having a discussion and we know that the system exists. And we say the system was not designed for me. The system is meant to destroy me, basically. So now I have to make a choice of whether I'm constantly working against that or I'm going to work with that.
I would say the masses of people are not even that far, homeboy. They ain't even that far. Mm-hmm. They're not even that far along to realize they got a choice to make. They got to get to that point first. That's where I think we lost that.
And that goes to the point that you made before to us, Bone, and it went on air, but you said before, like, a lot of people don't know it's a war. And it's not, we're not talking about Afghanistan or, you know, Iraq, which that war is over. Another man-made war. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about the war with inside yourself that's going on. It, just like you pointed out earlier, see, you have one side, you have God, on the other side, you have Satan, right?
Yeah.
So that right there itself involves a war. Yeah. Now, God's not fighting. Don't get it wrong. The war is between you and Satan.
Yeah, it is.
The war between you and Satan, God got you. All you got to do is go to him. But in that eternal war, like Bone said, when you go inside yourself, now you're going to figure it out, okay, I'm in a war. Now, it's the other steps. You got to figure out this war in between them two. It's between me and you, my nigga. Between me and you, buddy. It's between me and you, and we're going to settle this. And when you go at him, because at this point you understand you got God with you, you take him with you and you go at him, you're going to win. But getting there, like Bone said, a lot of people don't even know that war exists. And then when they do know it exists, they think it's a war between God and Satan. God don't have no reason to fight Satan. Satan is fighting to win God's people.
Yeah, he already won that
war. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He said it, and he's winning. He's winning them more than he, well, I take that back. He makes it seem as if he's winning more than he is because he's really losing.
Let me tell you, from my perspective, how relevant this conversation is. Because the three of us are sitting here discussing this. And from what I gather, we're all saying that we recognize that there's a war.
Yeah.
I hear you say that the war is between you and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yet, we still, the three of us,
mm-hmm.
still walk in this earth and fall victim,
yeah,
to the traps and to everything that we know he set.
Yeah.
So in my mind, what I'm hearing is I can know all day that the war is already won, that God is the right choice. I can choose him and, you know, not saying that life is going to be always roses, but at the end of the day, I'm going to win. I can know that. So why do I still fall over here? Why do I still fall for something that I know exists? I know it's out there. I know it's there to confuse my mind and to get me to make the wrong decision, this, that, and the third, and still accept it.
Well, a lot of it we've grown dependent on, to be honest with you. I mean, we've grown dependent on the system giving us our food, the system giving us light, the system giving us water, you know what I'm saying? System selling us their cars, putting their gas in our cars. I mean, we've grown dependent on that. What we have to filter out is that part that we can live without.
Mm-hmm.
So you can live without the negativity in your life. You can live without, you know, come bringing your stress from work home. You can live without, you know, not the treating your kids bad or talking, putting your hands on your wife. You can live without that type of negativity. You know, I don't want to blame beating on your wife, you know, on society. That's just the individual. But we get trapped in
macho.
Yeah.
Macho, the ego. I'm a man. This guy.
And where do we get that from? From what society tells us a man should be.
Yeah. It's always going to go back to where we started that war. And it's two sides to it. Now, like you say, it's black and it's white, and we the gray. And it depends. You can mix gray with white, you can mix gray with black. The only difference is if you mix gray with white, and I know that you hate that white-black thing, because who said white is pure? I know you asked me that before. Who said black is bad? But if you mix gray with white, and we're going to say on this instance that the white is God, it lightens up and gets a little lighter, don't it? You mix gray with black, it get blacker. It get darker.
No, I'm gonna have to disagree with you, because either way you mix that gray is the determining factor. White is already light.
Yeah,
don't get lighter, it get darker. You mix gray with the black don't get darker, it get a little lighter.
Yeah, I guess you can look at it both ways. This is the foundation of that though. If you put gray with black, it's gonna be darker than gray and white.
Well, that's
because that's it. So it's gonna be on the black guy.
Yeah.
And that's just an analogy. We're just throwing that out there. But yeah. I'm just saying, when us as being that great and understanding that and accepting that, like Bone was saying, you can filter in the things you need because you now have the understanding, you have the protection over here with Christ that you can walk through those things. Have those things and still be able to use them to your benefit instead of not being a negative.
Let me give it to you this way. If we know that white
mm-hmm.
is what it is,
right.
White operates the way it operates, that's white. We know that black is what it is, black operates the way it operates, that's black.
Mm-hmm.
We create the gray.
By mixing the two.
Well, because we try to play fence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We
want this, but there's some things over here I won't
do.
So we become the great.
Yeah.
Why does our motive become or not become trying to get rid of the great? Either I'm going to be white or I'm going to be black.
Yeah.
I'm getting rid of gray. I ain't going to play with gray no more because gray is what got me confused. Gray is what the issue is.
That makes total sense to me. I don't want to be gray no more.
Yeah. I don't want to be white and gray.
I just want to be white. Yeah. And in saying that, I think...
And I don't like the way that sounded, but I ain't trying to be like that.
No, it's just an analogy. But in saying that, though, I think if we think about it, we all, I know us three collectively, now at a point in our life, but we are trying to be more white. It was a time where we didn't understand we was great.
I think what we don't understand is white gonna always see us as white.
Yeah. That's a great point.
White always sees you as white.
That's a great point.
Black sees you as white, but I want you to be black.
Yeah.
And because you accept a little bit of it, you got gray.
I take gray.
Yeah.
You ain't white.
No, I take gray.
That's the issue. That's that thin line that we got to cross over to. If you it's hard. I understand that, but it ain't impossible. Because white can't lose. White cannot lose, so why would you want to keep gray? Why are we trying to figure out a way to make gray work?
It's humorous. It's actually humorous, if you think about it, to the standpoint where you know you have white that's undisputed, no recipe to be. and you know black over here is full of nonsense, mm-hmm. and you will still allow yourself to get great fooling around with black.
Nah, I like to, I want to point this out because ain't nobody in this room but us, but, and I don't like the way this playing out. What color your shirt is?
Gray.
What color your shirt is?
White.
And what color your shirt?
Black. Now, I don't like this, the way this playing out, but, you know, at the end of the day, it works. Get rid of the gray, man. Like, yeah. it's a choice. It's a hard choice, but why is it a hard choice? This whole analogy that we talking about right now lets us know our mental state is not as healthy as it could be. I'm not gonna say that it's not healthy, but it's not as healthy as it could because the decision hasn't been made.
Yeah.
We still got gray in the picture.
Yeah.
And I guess as long as you're human, you're probably gonna always have that possibility of gray being there. But if he sees me as white, why can't I see me as white?
I totally agree.
Because you're having too much fun. It's great.
You thank you.
You know,
yeah. But that's the truth, though. That's the truth because you done bought into mm-hmm. black so much. And that's what it is. I mean, it's to the point where we fooled ourselves to believe that achieving is being flashy.
I disagree with you on that. And this kind of goes into the second topic, the effects of generational ideas and teachings. I don't think we fool ourselves. I say it like this. We are born into this world empty. A baby comes here with no concept of anything other than dependence. That's all a baby knows.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment the parents, because I'm assuming they have the first interaction with that baby, from the moment they start teaching that kid, they are the ones who either direct towards white or black. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They create the gray.
Mm-hmm.
Gray is created when we first get here.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you grow in this process is to get to a point where I choose. I learn for myself and I choose whether I'm going to either go black or white. I can't be gray forever. I came here gray. I came here white. I came here clear. Let me put it that way. I came here clear.
I like that better.
Mm-hmm.
I like that better.
I came here clear. And the moment you start teaching me, I now become gray. So now the process is to get to either white or black. Does that make sense the way I'm saying that?
Yeah, I understand. But I guess where I was coming from with my point was more of as adults. Now that has been embedded in us. Whichever way we go, it starts at home.
Right.
I get that. But at some point, you get old enough to get your own understanding. And now I'm saying as an adult, I know maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe yesterday, even to be exact, maybe yesterday, there's times I've encountered things that I fooled myself to believe was what I wanted to be. And that's why I said we have to stop fooling ourselves. That's what I meant by that. But I do understand where you're going with it because in a generational standpoint, which is, if you're already, we can move into that topic.
Yeah, I think they intertwine.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it the whole time, really.
Yeah, the second topic was the effects of generational ideas and teachings. I think, I totally agree with you. We come here, like Bone said, this previous on show, everybody inherently is born good. I believe that. I really believe that. I believe every child comes here with good. You know what I'm saying? And I think the shaping of that child, which is the foundation, parents, house, environment they come up in, has a lot to do with how they mindset and everything plays out, which was to your point, right, T? So, yeah, I get it. I understand it. And
we can't stop there, though.
Yeah, and that's the truth because there's a lot of things that's in that generational ideas and teachings we get that we don't let go of. It's stuff today that I still have trouble disengaging myself from because it's all I've known all my life. Like, you can't wash clothes in my house on Sunday. You can't cut no yard in the neighborhood on Sunday where I'm from. So ain't nobody cut no yard in my house. Now, is there something necessarily wrong with that? I talked to her. I'm with my uncle. He's a deacon. And he's explaining to me this type of thing even Sunday.
They really ain't.
He said it's sad. He said it's sad, but it goes back to slavery again.
Right.
Master told you on Sunday we don't do nothing. So as a generation or years later, we picked up and we didn't do nothing on Sunday. That wasn't even our tradition. That's why I said earlier, this ain't none of our traditions we living by.
No.
We ain't from him. Yeah, we bought into him. Yes, I was born here. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep throwing it out. I know I was born here. But my people didn't come for me. My people didn't. Not my people. Not my
people.
You know what I'm saying?
The people.
Yeah, I'm saying for real.
I get what
and when you look back on that, because of their sacrifices is why I'm able to sit here today and to express my feelings in this manner. So you have to give all homage to them because it's really the truth. If we go back to it, it was put in them, passed down to us, and if we continue to do it, these generational ideas and teachings are setting us up for what we're dealing with right now.
So let me ask you a question, and this is me to you.
Right.
You said, can we mow no grass on Sunday and mm-hmm. wash no clothes on Sunday, not in your house, this, that, third, because that's the way you were taught. That's what
right.
you That's the way you came up, and that was the truth to you.
Yeah.
Up until, well, I don't even know if you bought that. Your uncle told you that the Sabbath is not on Sunday, it's on Saturday.
Yeah.
So at that point, you had a decision to make. Do I continue with the tradition, or do I change to accommodate or to go along with the belief that we just don't, it's not about Sunday, it's about the Sabbath.
Yeah.
So now that I realize, or the idea that I've had the wrong day of Sabbath, do I change the day that we don't do those things? Or do we still not do them on Sunday? Because the reason why I'm asking that question, if I stay with Sunday, then what did it profit you to find out that Sunday was the wrong day?
Well, see, I started this by saying, so I'm going to tell you I ain't going to answer this, but I started this by saying, though, I still have an issue because that's one of the generational curses, well, I shouldn't say curse, ideas and teachings that I was brought up in that even though I know now, it really has no basis.
And that right there, and I'm not pointing you out.
Yeah, I know you're not. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Totally.
But that is the issue because the lie started a long time ago.
Yeah.
So in order to live according to the truth, I got to go back and change pretty much everything
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where it becomes difficult.
Yeah.
Because I've been lied to from the time I got here.
Yeah.
The people who raised me was lied to. And the people who raised them was lied to. So now that I find truth, what do I do with it? That's where it becomes hard. But hard, again, is not impossible.
No, it's not.
It's just not a matter of whether I'm willing to accept truth.
It is not. It is more stubbornness when you really come down to it. Because if I can sit here and outwardly say this and admit to it, I know for myself that I'm just doing something that don't even have no meaning to it.
Right.
Besides for the fact I'm just going to stand on what I want to stand on. Now it comes to the point where you're just being egoist. You know, I'm not, well, that ain't no damn, that ain't no word.
We're going to do it today.
Egoist. Egoist.
Yeah.
But I mean, it comes to a point where, you know, you just caught in your own ego. And it's like, for me, really, you know what? I'm going to say this on air. This is very difficult.
Here we go.
This is very difficult. I'm going to lay down that route. I'm letting go of that route today, personally, as a personal
choice
for myself to evolve, to understand and grow, and engage and consume, and grab and hold to my own truth.
I respect that. Because I feel like
it. And it's hard. I know come Sunday, I know she's going to do
but
it.
But we ain't trying you. You just said that you laying it down. So lay it down.
I said I ain't never said you just heard I had laid it down. I'm trying, though. I'm honestly. Now, all plans aside, I'm honestly going to try to do that.
Give me some other examples. Cause
like generational?
Because Sunday has lost that for me a long time ago. You know, for me, a day of worship is any day you choose to worship.
Right, right.
You know, Sabbath is whatever day you choose to, you know, have your conversation with
right.
you.
Right.
Okay, so I lost that one. Give me something else.
As far as what?
A
generational,
something
you know,
we was raised with.
Generational ideas and teachings that we hold on to that, you know, not necessarily ours. It's just something that we kind of picked up.
That's easy. race. Race, period. Now, if we are people who say that we believe in God, it's very simple that he says, I'm not a respecter of persons. I love everybody. So why is race an issue for anybody who says they believe and follow God? Race.
Do you think that's a generational teaching or idea we picked up? Because I think he looked at more of like he asked for an example of something we've done over time that we just bought into. And I know you're saying race, but you're saying we bought into the fact that it should be a separation of race or we all one.
Why does race exist?
Because Buddy exists.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
I'm saying, though, just, you said give you another example, and I gave you one. It's a difficult one, but it's an example. And it's one that we were taught after we got here. As kid, you can watch kids, when they go on the playground, when you take them to the playground first time, they don't see color.
They don't know color.
They don't.
They don't know color. My daughter, that's the honest truth. I remember asking my daughter, was her teacher white or black? And she said, what's that? And she was like in the first or second grade. And it was the first time, and it was my ignorance. It was the first time I realized she didn't see color. And it was the beautifulest thing in the world.
You gave her that.
In that moment, I did. In that moment, I did. And that just pointed that out to me, too, because I didn't realize that. But she didn't. She did not know. And it was, to me, it was dumbfounding, but it was also educational. Because I couldn't believe she didn't understand where I was coming from. Then when I realized, it was like, wow, that's beautiful. But I had destroyed it at that time. You know what I'm saying? And that's true. Now I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I ain't going to say you destroyed it, homeboy, but, you know, because you were, I guess, ignorant to the fact that she hadn't experienced that yet. But who would you rather she get it from?
Right. That's true, too.
You know, I mean, my son said something the other day, kind of threw me back a little bit. Said one of his cousins and his auntie moved to Texas, and they black. And I was slightly confused for a second. I had to stop and really process what he said. You know? I'm like,
you just messed me up for a minute.
I mean, so what does them being black have to do with them
moving
to Texas?
Black people don't belong in Texas, is what he's
saying. You know what I'm saying? Where did he get that from? You know what I'm saying? I never say nothing that, you know, black people don't live in Texas. You know, but somewhere along the line, he picked it up that I guess one particular race of people lives in Texas.
Yeah.
And anybody else don't really belong there.
Yeah.
I want to wash that out of his mind. I don't want him to grow up with that type of mindset. You know what I mean? So we got to step in there. No, those type of situations. Maybe too soon. But then at the same time, my son and your daughter, almost what, about same age.
Yeah. A couple years apart. Just a couple years apart.
You ahead of me because you can build it.
Yeah.
I got to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's harder to do, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. And I guess that plays into your point, though, G. But it was hard to get there because I think in our own mind.
It's so embedded.
That,
right.
That you can't
it's
understand.
Natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
and that's
a natural
that.
Differentiation.
And generation. No, yeah.
That's a person. I'm a person.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? The difference becomes in how you treat me. That determines whether I like you or not. That determines what I think about you. Whether your skin different, your hair different, your eyes different, whatever. You're just different. You're still a person. Why is race an issue? Why are any of the little... And it becomes so common knowledge to where, like you just said, we don't even think about it. It's not something that we even give thought to.
We were trying our hardest to give thought to what you were saying, and because it was so one way in our mind, we couldn't even go there. So that's to the point, totally. The generational thing is, it's embedded understanding. And once you get an understanding for yourself, I don't care what nobody else say, it's hard to move away from it. You know what I mean? It's very hard to move away from it. And when, like, I have an understanding, like, I'm supposed to do things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, it burns me up. It aggravates me. Now, this is my own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving myself crazy for for something I done drew up in my own head. Ain't nobody told me this. Now, these same ways I'm portraying now, everybody up under me in my family.
Got to do it the same way.
Yeah. I'm putting these curses, well, not, stay away from curse, but I'm putting these ideas and teachers into them, and it may not be right. And we have to be mindful of that. And understanding that we went through it and being able to stand away from it now as grown men and see it as, okay, that could have been a little bit what went wrong. We're not saying our parents are wrong because at the end of the day, we do it.
And sometimes, And sometimes you got to take your feelings out of it.
Yeah. That's what it all comes down to.
Take your feelings, your personal feelings out of it and your personal standpoint and do what you know is right and say what you know is right.
Well, the only way you can do that is that you have to somehow come to the point where you believe or have some type of idea that the way I think could possibly be
wrong. Yeah. You have to admit to that to yourself.
Now, what I was about to say from what you just said about, you know, the way you feel like things should be done and how
mm-hmm.
you pass it on, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We teach what we know.
Mm-hmm.
We can't teach what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Simple than that. Simple example. I watched a mother teach her son how to tie a shoe. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound funny, but just go with me. She did the thing where you take the shoestring and you make the one loop, you take
mm-hmm.
the other and wrap it around and then you pull the other loop through.
Mm-hmm.
Practice for about 30 minutes with tying the shoe. So a couple of days passed and kid came back. Shoe was untied. So you see your shoe tied? I know you know how to tie your shoe. I done taught you how to tie your shoe. So the kid bent down and made one loop,
mm-hmm.
made another loop, then intertwined the two loops and pulled them together.
Mm-hmm.
She popped him. Now the shoe tied.
Right, right.
She popped him. That ain't how I taught you how to tie your shoe. And I'm sitting there dumbfounded, like, you are so stuck on the fact that he didn't do it the way you wanted him to do it, that you didn't even see that he tied his shoe. Wasn't that the complaint in the beginning, that the shoe was untied?
Yeah.
How you do it shouldn't matter. You tied the shoe. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't, nobody's going to, if the world was full of Derricks, it'll be a boring world.
Yeah, it sure would be.
If it was full of BJs, if it was full of cords, if it was full of any one thing, but yet we can't accept people with different ideas. We can't accept you, anytime you think different than me or you act different than me, you dress different than me, you walk different than me, you talk different, you do anything different than me.
Something wrong with you.
I'm going to say it just because it hit me. You know, we've had this conversation before, but it just hit me. And I want somebody to hear. What you just said to me, right? This young man was tying the shoe. She told him to tie a shoe. He tied a shoe. He got a shoe tied. You know, she was upset because of the way he tied his shoe.
Right.
I think on a broader aspect, I'm simply just because it hit my mind, you know, I know we try not to. Sometimes we tend not to go this route, but on a religious standpoint, if the goal is a relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
why does it matter
how
I get there? Whether I use one loop and tie it around the other and pull a knot, or I make two loops and tie and pull a knot?
Well, it depends on who you ask, because to me, the answer is it doesn't. As long as at the end of the day you have a relationship, I'm going to go a step further. If you don't have a relationship and that's your choice, I respect that. That's your choice. My goal is to improve my relationship.
And I guess the way I was going was more so with the generational ideas and,
yeah, I get
and
it.
Teachings. You know, we were taught that it was one way of getting to that.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's
right.
Through church.
Through church. You know,
the pastor.
Right. That's how you get there, you know.
Through religion.
Right.
Religion.
You know, with life experience, we realize that there's other ways of getting to that.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Scientology. I don't know. I don't know nothing about Scientology. So don't
right.
beat me up too much about it. I don't really know much about it. But I look at it as a vessel. It's a path. It's how you get to where we all trying to be.
Yeah, I mean, how can you say something is wrong? Put it this way. How can I say I don't like spinach if I never taste it?
Mm. Unless you try it and you just don't
How
like
can
it.
I say Scientology is wrong if I don't know nothing about it?
Yeah, it's true.
How can I say anything is wrong if my mind is not open to it?
Hey, how can I be in a hope? How can I be optimistic that you will believe what I'm saying if I don't have no belief in what you're saying?
Or at least close my mind,
yeah.
Closed to it
altogether. Yeah,
I won't
yeah.
even consider what you say.
Yeah. That's true. And to Bone point, I mean, that's the truth. How I go about getting there, how you go about getting there, Corey, and how Bone will go about getting there, it's going to be totally different anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I'm getting there, why am I getting chastised for it? Because I'm not doing it the way, like I said earlier, I have a certain way in my mind, I'm going to do things. And if you go against that, I think you're wrong. Am I right in that? No. Am I learning that now? Yes. But it was a time where you could talk me to death. I wasn't trying to hit you.
No, it's going to be the way I'm going.
Yeah,
it is what it is. And that's that generational thing.
Yeah.
It impacts us more than we know. It in the specific... And then in the overall,
yeah.
it impacts you both ways.
Yeah, it do. It, because you pick up what you've been around so long. It's with anybody. It's like we do things now that we didn't even like doing when we had to do them.
Hmm.
But we enforce them or do them now ourselves because we had to do them so long. Hmm. Now, we see no right in them then. Probably see no right in them now. But because you've been doing it so long, you continue to do it. Then when you question it, you're like, well, why change it? I've been doing it this long anyway. Well, change it because it's wrong. How about that? And that's a good enough reason.
That's a good enough
reason. That's about the only reason. But a lot of times, like I said, it's us trying to fool ourselves.
We have to understand the circle. The circle is an important shape. It's very important. Because... life itself is a circle.
Yeah.
Just think. Bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Well, they call them snapbacks.
Yeah. We call them
right. Hats. That's a dressing trend, but it's all a circle. Then you go to music.
All them beats being sampled.
You go through, at one point, disco was big, and funk was big, and this was big, and that was big, but now everything is coming back, and you can get a little bit of everything now.
Yeah,
life is a circle. And I think we go through the circle of life when we see some of the same situations and some of the same circumstances because we didn't make the right decision the first time we saw them.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, it looks like we got a caller. I want to go ahead and bring them in and see what they got to say. Go ahead, caller, you live. You got
hey.
A question, comment, concern?
Hey, brothers. This is Brother Vic, man.
What's going on,
Brother
Vic?
I just want to chime in. I think it's kind of important. I totally agree now. I totally agree. What your brothers were saying, you know, and I'm kind of getting. I don't think it was said. I kind of get what y'all saying. It might be like you were saying the circle, and sometimes you got to break the circle, or sometimes you have to. You gotta kind of break that chain of the generations after the generations and sometimes it's unbreakable, you know. Sometimes things are just gonna recur anyway. And like we always say, you know, like the brother was kinda, I don't know which one of the brothers, but one of the brothers was kinda hesitating and said, you know, kinda like, you know, always it goes back to that relationship. And like I say, brothers, anytime you have a meaningful conversation, it's going to always go back to that relationship. But be careful, brothers, when you start to say things like, you know, we sometimes, if we don't know nothing about it, then it might be all right. You know, I heard some things like that, and sometimes, and I'm not saying that's what you were saying. I'm just saying that... sometimes, even if you don't know nothing about it, and you know it ain't right, it just ain't right. Sometimes your grandmama and your mama and they grandmama was right. And sometimes we look at things, small things, very small things. And it might be how a sister wear her dress above her knee instead of below her knee. And they see it and say, you know what, that's wrong. And that seemed like the old church way. But really what it is it grows and it grows. And then you have sisters walking around with their ass hanging out. You see what I'm saying, brothers? So, and look, check this out now. Hold up. And I'm talking about period, brothers. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about period. I don't want to narrow in on one thing because it really touches on all these things. But now, like I said, I agree with y'all. You don't always know. Sometimes you have to be open-minded. But sometimes, just like I think it was last week when we was talking about brothers and all of that, we know it's not right. And if it goes against nature, you don't have to know nothing about it. If you walk outside tomorrow and you see the sky is red and you say, well, you know what, that might mean a good thing. No. The sky ain't never been red. And that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? I don't know nothing about it, and I'm not going to say, well, it could be good. It's bad, period, because it ain't what we about. You know, and so I'm gonna try to stick to it real quick and end my comment. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not disagreeing with you. I totally agree with y'all. We have to be open for change. And in all of these issues, we have to remember that we break it down to a person and a specific, you know, like you said, the shoes. You know, that's going a little bit extreme with the tying of the shoes. You know, that's going, you know, so now every single situation, we can't lock into everything is going to be black, everything is going to be white. You know, it ain't going to be, we have to judge each situation we come across accordingly, you know, that's why God, Mother Nature gave us the ability to make decisions, you know, and we need to do it. And like I said, I'm not disagreeing with y'all brothers, but everything ain't gonna be the same way. Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't. I love y'all brothers. You know what I'm saying? Y'all stay strong. I'm gonna try to call in every time, and if you don't hear from me, that don't mean I'm not listening. You know what I'm saying? The devil is a liar, and we're going to keep on pushing. I'm going to holler at y'all next time.
All right, Vic. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. You know, this is what we all about, man, at TOAB, man. That's what it's about. You voice your opinion and the way you feel, and we open to that. We understand that totally. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on what you were saying so you can get my point of view. I'm saying, when I say being open to other things, I'm not saying I'm going to totally agree with them. And I think you were saying that you understand that. And if it's wrong, it's just wrong. I think I speak for myself, but I think all of us agree with that. We're not just going to go along with something we know is wrong. But I'm not going to close my mind off to anything because I feel like I can learn something in any situation. And that's all it's about for me. You know what I mean? Now, which to your point, some things do have to be enforced because it's a standard. And for things to get better, we have to enforce the standard that grandma and mama set forth. Everything grandma and mama did wasn't wrong. You know what I'm saying? But some things they were taught, what that's been embedded in them was wrong because it came from somebody else's tradition.
I think where I get confused, or I shouldn't even say confused, what I want you to elaborate on is the enforcement.
The enforcement?
How do you enforce what you don't necessarily know? You understand what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You don't know whether your way or your decision is right.
Well, if you go to the truth, you do. If you're doing it from your understanding, from what you got through your understanding with God, then I'm not questioning that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, because I don't want you to question mine with him.
Yeah.
So now that now may differ in different people, and that's where the conflict lies.
Here's the problem that creates. Mama enforced what she believed
right,
to be right.
Right. Right.
Probably because grandma, she believed to be
right. Right.
And that's probably because great grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So we still find ourselves in this generational loop
right.
of teaching.
Right. Right.
But if the first teacher was wrong, then all of us wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so I still come back to how do I, where I'm going is, each individual has a responsibility to search truth.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you find it, and I think you know it if you tune into that thing that's within yourself,
mm-hmm.
but the moment you find truth, you have to be willing to adjust to truth.
True, right.
I can't just find truth and know truth and yet continue to do what I've been
right.
taught.
Right, don't do nothing with it.
Yeah, now what did the truth benefit me? How did I benefit from learning anything? What was that whole process about?
Right, right, correct. But now what I'm saying enforcing, because I want to clear it up, what I'm saying to enforce, I'm enforcing what is ultimately right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've came to an understanding within myself that, yeah, that does make sense. That falls under the truth that God has aligned me for. That's it. Now, that some of those things grandma and mama taught me is under that truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everything they taught me don't necessarily fall under it, but some things is.
Right.
And those things I'm going to enforce. Now, as far as the Sunday thing, like I pointed out earlier, that was taught to me, which came from my grandma to my mom to me, right? Now, looking back on it, I have no truth to stand on that being a valid reason of saying you can't wash clothes in my house. So for me to sit here and say I'm going to continue to do that, I'm going against the truth that I know inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I want to accept it or not, inside myself, I've realized that ain't true. Now, if I'm going to accept the truth, like I said, and I said it well, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that go because how can I sit here and tell you something and try to make you understand where I'm coming from if I'm not going to uphold it?
You know, go ahead and wash your load Sunday morning, homeboy. Go ahead and
get
it out.
It's
going
to be hard.
Get it out of the way. Wash your load Sunday morning.
I'm out to do it for myself just to free myself of that.
This goes, I think this whole conversation, in my mind, to me,
mm-hmm.
goes back to, and it's crazy because it's one of the only Bible verses, I ain't going to say one of the only, but one of the main Bible verses I remember because as a kid, I remember saying it every Sunday.
2 Timothy 2:15.
And they say what? Because you were there with study to show thyself.
Yeah.
Thyself. Approved unto who?
God.
Ain't to me, ain't
mm-hmm.
to you, ain't to them over there. It's to him.
Mm-hmm.
A workman. That means when I get it, I got to do something with it.
Right.
Needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what?
True.
Okay. All this ties into that, and if you're gonna read the Bible, I think it should be under that basis and that basis alone. It ain't to show nobody else that I'm a Bible scholar.
Right.
Ain't call nobody outside on their wrong. No, I'm searching for the truth. That's why I go to this book. That's why I use the Bible. That's what it's there for me for. I said that wrong, but y'all get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why it's there for me. And I think what I'm understanding is maybe I don't, and I haven't up to this point read it as much as I should because of I've been trying to avoid that accountability that comes along with it.
Because just like you know that Timothy 2:14.
Exactly. When I read it,
you're going to know a lot more.
I'm accountable.
Yeah.
So there's things that I might have went with before that no, I can't go with.
Exactly.
Now I didn't get a pass for.
Exactly. I'm accountable. I'm accountable for Sunday.
Now, listen to what I just said. And get a pass. I'm looking for a pass for not wanting to be white.
Right, exactly. And that's the mindset.
Unhealthy.
Which goes back to the unhealthy mind.
Unhealthy. Confusion.
Yeah.
It's straight confusion.
Ego is confusion.
It's straight confusion.
Fear.
It's that too. But we know where that comes from.
Right.
His plan is working according to where it's supposed to, but he cannot win. And that's what I have to keep reminding myself. Regardless of what your plan is, regardless of what you try to do, at the end of the day, I know you can't win. You can't win. And if I keep that mentality one day, hopefully sooner than later, I'll make that right choice, and I'll stick with that right choice.
But then, and understanding that, too, though, we have to understand, and I'm talking about just me and you. I ain't going to bring nobody else in this. Me, you, and Bone. I'm going to say me, you, and Bone. Because I don't want to draw nobody else into it and think I'm trying to tell them how to do anything. I'm talking to us. Mm-hmm. In this matter, in this standpoint, we have to understand that to get there, understanding it don't mean it's just going to change. It means we have to keep understanding it because it's going to steadily be things thrown in front of us.
Right.
You
right.
get what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's almost go back to that thing we say, don't think you have arrived.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just because you get understanding doesn't mean now you come.
No, you got to put that understanding
right.
to work.
Right, exactly. And by putting it to work means he gave you the understanding to build you up for that next down, or that next come, I don't want to say a downfall, but next bump in the road, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to get more understanding out of that.
Listening to this, what I'm gathering is the more we know, of course, the more we're accountable for
mm-hmm.
that. The more you grow, the harder you're going to fall.
Yeah. Because you are stronger now. You're stronger now. So, but the things that used to bother you today don't bother you like they did yesterday.
If they
and that's true with anybody, even a child.
Yeah.
Even a child. Once they fall down one time on their bike, that next time you don't hear them cry. Because they're stronger because they fell that first time.
They know what they expect.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. So once I have to... But it Satan has to put something in front of you now that's more of an obstacle.
So are we saying that when we see somebody fall and they fall hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have the tendency as humans, we have the tendency to point it out and say what they should have done.
And, mm-hmm.
and
that's why.
This
and that's why.
And blah, blah, blah. We don't realize that that person is good. That person, if they fail like that where it's significant enough for enough people to notice, that person has a major growth on their hands.
Mm.
He's setting them up. He's setting them up and everyone around them to see what he can do.
So at the end of the day, where you pointing out what they should have done, what you should have done,
mm-hmm.
is sat back and watch.
Watch.
Because it's something for me to learn in this.
Yes. Yes. What we look at as negative and think is put in front of us to deter us is actually there to strengthen us. And we don't get that. And it's like I tell you all the time, T, the depth of your struggle is going to be the height of your success. And I really believe that. I believe that because the more you go through, the stronger you become. It, to be here and to go through anything and to see another day after that, you're strong. You're stronger. You are stronger the next day because you went through that. You might not believe that next day. But the next time something comes in front of you, you'll look at it and say, I can take that on because I took that.
Do you realize how much stress that will relieve off a person
mm-hmm.
if they approach life from
yeah.
that perspective?
Yeah.
That anything that they encounter is only going to make them a better person,
mm-hmm.
whether it's good or bad. That hurdle, we'll call
mm-hmm.
it, was placed in your path for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, in each hurdle, if we're going to go along that getting older and falling harder,
mm-hmm.
every hurdle you jump, just a little bit taller.
Yeah.
Just a little bit higher. You know what I'm saying? He raises the bar just a little
mm-hmm.
bit more. Every time, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you thought that was something. Wait till you hit this one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Being able to realize that and learn from it is what I feel like takes that person to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what takes you to the next level, to realize that everything you encounter in your life is for a reason. It's for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. You win it. You win it because now there's no negative. You took the negative and ultimately they have turned it into your obstacle to become better. So what was set for you, now watch this now, because I said this to you before, Tucci, and I think me and you together, Bone, when we said this, but watch this now. This is how slick this Lucifer think he is, but how God is so in control. He set that obstacle in front of you. But he set it there for negative. If you have the mentality that I'm walking with God, what he set there just was put there automatically to hurt you now becomes your obstacle to become better.
Mm.
So even though he thinks he's doing all the work, he's working for God and don't even realize. This Lucifer we talking about, everything comes back to, just like Vic said, at the end of the day, it comes back to God. Because even that obstacle that's set in front of you by your ultimate enemy is there to better you. So ultimately, everything he's doing is working in the name of the Lord.
Mm. You said it.
Yeah, you said it.
That's it. That's it. There's no more to it. But like Bone said, we have to understand it. Because it's so easy to say that obstacle put there, and now you saying, like, forget it.
Right.
It is what it is. See, every time I try to do something, this will happen. So I ain't doing it anymore. Now you stuck right there. You and that obstacle just sitting right there, and he chilling with you, and he just as happy as two boys butt naked in the shade.
I don't know how I do it, but, you know, I get where you're going. I get what you're saying, and it make a whole lot of sense.
And it comes back to, more than anything, man, like we were saying earlier, you have to realize that water.
Yeah, man.
You have to realize first.
That's
first,
step one.
First and foremost, get the water. Realize, and I'm not saying this in no lackadaisical form, because this water ain't no joke.
Sure.
It's not no joke. So don't take it on no play status or think it's, you know, somebody going and shipped off in deployment. No. This is internal. So that means it's going to stay. It ain't going nowhere.
And
you got to get in it.
Got to.
You
got to
get in it.
The person, the opposition, is not only out for confusion. They're not only out to make your life miserable. No, they're out to kill you.
Yes.
Yes.
That's his whole thing.
To destroy.
What did you say destroy mean? I mean,
well,
I don't know.
No, but it's a hypothetical question. Well, I don't think about it like that on a daily basis, but if I did, how could I not choose white? Why would I want to remain gray knowing that this person, every day, just imagine another human being, every day you know their only mission in life is to take yours.
Yeah. Hmm.
You'd be on high alert.
Yeah.
You would do everything in your power to get rid of that person because they're trying to get rid of you. But we play with them. We toy with them. You got things I like.
Yeah.
You know what I like.
And you
it's
know
fun
it.
Over there.
And you know it, too. And it's crazy because that you said that because I'm sitting there thinking, like, you'd be like, yeah, I do this for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I just do this for a minute. I know I ain't got no business doing it, but it's all right right now. And then you think you're buying time, but all you're doing is stagnating your time.
Wasting time.
Yeah, you're just sitting in one spot, going nowhere. And then fool yourself continuously in your own self and go that war again that you're in that you don't even know it's a war going on because you think you're doing what you want to do.
Mental health, man.
Yeah, that mental health. We have to tap into
it. The mind is a powerful tool, man. It's powerful.
Strengthen it, too, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Do write. Read a book.
Yeah.
I know we say in the told you book's full of lies, but read it anyway.
Yeah.
Read it so you would know the lie.
Read it to try to find the lie.
Truth.
Right? You know what I mean?
Well, fine. We said that to know the truth, you got to know a lie.
Right.
So
read
you
that
have
book.
To have something. I remember we were having this conversation, too. We have a lot of conversations. But we were having this conversation, too, and you were saying you need that contrast.
Yeah.
Of course, that to you, boy. You like, you need that contrast, though. Because if that contrast wasn't there, you would have never known this opposition or this situation sat there for
you. Or you wouldn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's not till I put it in perspective that this person is trying to kill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if that wasn't there, be, okay, he there and he ain't no good.
Yeah, but dude trying to destroy him. This is his mission. This is his mission, and it is crazy because he sits and laughs with you when you think you're laughing at everybody else.
Hmm.
And what you don't get is the reason they laughing so hard is because in that moment they laughing at you, they ain't laughing with you, killer.
Yeah.
Now you laughing too, and you done told the joke. And it's funny, it's good and funny. But what you don't realize, everybody laughing with you, someone in that mix, every now and then, someone in that mix ain't laughing at what y'all laughing.
Mm-hmm.
They laughing because you don't get it. I don't want to be on that side no more. I've been on that side a long time and had been on that side a long time in my life. Now, when I laugh, I know what I'm laughing about. I ain't going to laugh every time you laugh. I ain't going to laugh everything you say. But when I do laugh, I'm laughing with somebody that done made me laugh. It ain't no more me laughing to laugh to fit the situation. Now, when I'm laughing, it comes from a true place of joy. I'm laughing because he allowed me to laugh. That's the difference, man. That's the difference in it. When when you get into this war and you realize who you're fighting, you see you losing, you're losing, and you just simply just say, for a minute, I'm going to sit with white. It don't take but a minute. In that 1 minute, you'll hit a clock tick. Everything stops when you hit a clock tick. As long as we're moving, we don't pay attention to the clock tick. But when you stop and you hit a clock tick, think about that. What you think the ticking of the clock is? It's so peaceful. In that moment, everything stops for you. To me, it engulfs the whole meaning of God. In that moment when I can stop and I can hear the clock ticking, it's me understanding I got all the time in the world to do your will. And you allow me to. But as long as I'm running and trying to do it my way, I never hit a clock. I ain't never got enough time. Instead of chasing time. Man, I got to do this. I got to do that. When you sit still and stop just for a minute, you'll hit a clock. Most people don't want to hit a clock.
Right.
I don't want to hear that.
Nah.
You saying to yourself, I don't want to acknowledge God is present. Now, that's my understanding. Now, a lot of people won't see that, and they probably think I'm far extreme, and that's okay, but that's my understanding of myself. Because when I stop and hear the clock, it calms me. It calms me because in that moment you understand if it's not just for 2 more ticks, I ain't got to do nothing but listen. And to your point, that's how simple it is.
Right.
When you allow him just to take over and you walk into boundaries and understand this ain't no negative. This is to strengthen me. Now you ain't doing nothing. You just, hey, it up. I'm here. You here doing it. Why are you so happy? Because I ain't doing it. You trying to do it. Step back.
Hop it.
Yeah, step back. And in that, the generational ideas and teachings, all that'll fall to the wayside too. Because you'll weed out all the wrong and the lies. Because he ain't going to give you nothing but the truth.
You say when you laugh because you're sitting on one side and
yeah.
I'm sitting on the other side and realize I might not get it, whatever. I take it, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But where I go is this way, right here. Because I know he can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know at the end of the day, who I believe in cannot lose.
Mm-hmm.
It matters not to me one iota.
Mm-hmm.
What your motive is. And I'm going to say this, and I know y'all ain't going to take it this way, but I'm going to just use this as an analogy. We could be sitting here right now, and this whole thing could be to make a fool out of court.
Mm-hmm.
But because he allowed me to sit here,
mm-hmm.
I go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that be the case, it ain't going to turn out that way.
No, it ain't.
It ain't going to turn out
that way.
That might have been your motive, but it ain't going to. It's not going to work.
So now you laughing.
So now I'm laughing. I don't even know what I'm laughing
okay.
at, right? But I'm laughing.
You know what you're laughing at. You know what you're
I'm
laughing
because I know who I believe
yeah.
at the end of the day, that's all that matters
to
me.
That's it.
I can care less.
That's it. That's it, man.
I guess that's my closing statement. I will see y'all on Friday.
Another good one, fella. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, man. As always, man. We love doing this, man. And it comes out on air because, hey, we come in here, we be ready to go, and we go in, and once we go in, we go somewhere. We don't know where we're going. God leads us a lot of time, and we thankful for that because he gave us a platform. And we're going to continue to try to do it in the manner he will have us to do it. That's all it's about here,
mm-hmm.
brother. It's all it's about with you always being. We want to hear thoughts, ideas. Vic, appreciate you calling in as always, man. Appreciate you sticking with us. We appreciate your love and support, man. We look forward to hearing from you on each show, too. Bone, you got anything for him?
Peace, love, and air grease.
Yeah. See you gone?
I'm gone.
You
see you Friday.
We'll see y'all Friday, man. We're going to go back into the music of the thing. And it's reggae, ain't it? Reggae Friday?
Reggae Friday.
We'll call it Rockstar Friday.
Rockstar
Friday. With that being said, lock your doors, but open your heart to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. TOABI.
lost half of my leg. I think about the quake that left 40,000 dead. I think about the troops coming home from the east. I think about taking the mark and worshiping the beast. I think about Revelations 19 and 20, Isaiah 18 and Jeremiah 50. I think about me, my mama and my brother, how we grew up on Chapel Road and had to struggle. I think about all the victims of the hurricane. I think about all the homeless folk when it rained. I think about when we came over here slaves. And when it's time to leave, who gon' wanna stay?
You know my mama says she hear it in my voice. I'm just a brother with a plan and a purpose. So my hands get sweaty when I'm nervous. Got some good people standing in my circle. Family matters, got some folk that'll hurt you. Or maybe even help you. They're showing love for the brother cause the blood be selfless. And it came with a sacrifice. At a time when the people of the world wasn't living right. Now it's even worse than it ever was. When I see my kids, I'ma get a hug. Prodigal sun is shining. I yawn and stretch and get dressed for some mountain climbing. I wear it well, but this is not by my designing. The inevitable has an impeccable timing. And if you left it up to me, I'd say never. Only God could have brought us back together. And all I say is I obey, you see. The family tree is tatted on my back forever. And I feel purpose. The Salvation Army's at your service. Act like it hurt it, cause our only challenge is balance. But I believe that the will of God is perfect. Now let's go.
Look at the way he talk. My whole attitude is mine and it's so false. Give a right to scripture, hope you get the picture. It gives me the answers to my different issues. Life is pain, we can compensate and bring the light over and over. The bills keep coming right. The devil's gonna test you, but really no pressure. Just believe, have faith, and he'll direct you. Diamonds and dollar signs, they on my red slippers. Money maker in my time, happy hour tipper. Synchronize my rhyme just to help the crime rate. Hope my words change your life, help my people say.